You all right?
Yeah, I reckon. That arrow there's gonna have to go on through that young fella's leg, Smoke.
I know. Keep an eye on that opening up there. Make sure no Apaches try to sneak through it.
They gonna get a bullet in the face if they do.
Smoke went over to join Sally and Catherine.
The arrow's lodged pretty deeply.
I know. Mike, I reckon I don't have to tell you what has to be done.
Yeah, I know. Let's get it over with.
Turn on your side a little. You want a bullet to bite on, or a belt?
No, but maybe if you'd hang on to my hand, Miss Bradshaw?
Of course.
Mike nodded to Smoke and then looked away, fastening his gaze on Catherine's face. Smoke grasped the arrow, set himself, and with a quick bunching of corded muscles under his shirt, he shoved the arrowhead the rest of the way through Mike's leg. Now that he could see the bloody arrowhead, Smoke took hold of it and snapped the shaft. Then he pulled what was left of the shaft back through the hole in Mike's leg. Mike's head fell to the side. He'd passed out. Well, that was probably the best thing, considering that the wound still had to be cleaned.
Scratchy, we'll need that flask of rye.
Ain't much of it left, but there ought to be enough. Better not anybody else get wounded.
Smoke dribbled the fiery liquor into the entrance wound on the front of Mike's thigh.
Miss Bradshaw, you saw what I just did. Can you do that every couple of hours and keep fresh bandages on the wounds?
I think I can. Is it all right to use strips from my petticoat for dressings?
Yep, I think that would do just fine.
Sally pulled Smoke aside.
Are we going to have to change your name to Cupid Jensen?
It's not that at all. I was going to get you to take care of him, but then I figured we might need you more for shooting instead of nursing. Of course, Mike's a fine young man, and I don't reckon it'll bother him to learn that he had such a pretty gal taking care of him.
A pretty girl who's engaged to another man.
Well, Lieutenant Preston's not here. Although, I wouldn't mind seeing him right about now. Especially if he was leading a company of cavalry.
Smoke moved back over to where Preacher had an eye cocked on the partially blocked entrance.
So we're still bottled up in here with no food or water and no way to get away from the Apaches.
Oh, hell, I wouldn't worry about that. We'll all die of thirst a long time before we ever starve. That is, if them damn stubborn Redskins don't get us first. Come on!
Smoke and Preacher climbed to the opening and lay there with their heads just above the sandy crest as they peered out.
I don't see a blame thing moving anywhere.
And neither do I. But if we were to try to get to that stagecoach, I reckon our friends would announce themselves.
Hey now, them Apaches ain't no friends of mine. You know, I never had anything in particular against the Indians, despite how many of them tried to kill me over the years. Well, the Blackfoot maybe. For pure cussiness, there ain't nobody in the world who tops them. But anyway, I had some mighty fine friends among the tribes in my earlier days. Truth be told, probably fathered a good number of young'uns too, and like I told you that first time we met, I probably got more grandkids and great-grandkids scattered around the frontier than I can count. So can't nobody say I ain't been a friend to the Indians who've been friends to me. There's been plenty of times when the red man got a raw deal in this country, especially from the crooked politicians and the damn paper pushers they paid off. Just like that blasted engine ring in Washington we've tussled with a few times.
You're not saying anything I don't agree with, Preacher. I reckon you'll get to a point sooner or later.
The point is this, smartass. I might have some sympathy for anybody who's fighting for his land and the way he wants to live, but them Apache ain't just fighting for that. They're crazy, mean, and cruel. Torture's just a sport with them, and I can't abide that. Killing an enemy in battle is one thing. Making him take a day or two to die while he's screaming for mercy, well, that's another. I could put a bullet in the head of every one of them varmints out there and never lose a second sleep over it.
I reckon you'll get a chance to.
You know what's happening out there right now, don't you?
The Apaches are waiting for us to show our faces.
More than that, they've sent out word that they got a bunch of white folks trapped here. There might not have been more than a couple dozen in that bunch that jumped us first, but I'll bet you a fancy new hat that more of them bucks been slipping off the reservation every night since the trouble started. Could be 200 or more renegades roaming around by now, and once they hear what's going on, they're gonna be heading for this place to get in on the fun.
So you're saying the odds against us are just going to get worse?
Yep, that's what I'm saying.
You think we should try to bust out of here now? before we're outnumbered 20-1?
It might be too late to make a break. If there's any way to get that stagecoach rolling, I'd say we ought to give it a try. Some of us wouldn't make it, but we'd have more of a fighting chance. But on foot, I'd just be throwing our lives away. Damn, sure would be nice to see old Matt and Luke come galloping over the horizon right now, wouldn't it? Maybe even with them two hell-raising Yunkers with them. What'd you call them, Ace and Chance?
That would make a difference, all right. But it would take a miracle for something like that to happen.
Well, it's the right time of the year for it now, ain't it? If you're gonna wish for a miracle, you might as well make it a good one.
I'm a little surprised to hear talk of miracles coming from a hard-headed old coot like you.
Oh, I've seen some things in my life. Things there ain't no reasonable explanation for in this world or any other.